Our reading today is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 9. You can find it on page 180 in your pew Bible if you'd like to read along. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed.
Thank you, everyone who's been a part of this gathering this morning. It couldn't happen without the help of many people. So thank you, each and every one of you, for all you do to honor the Lord as best you can. And together we trust that He takes our offerings in any way that they're given and can do something beautiful because He's God and He's more than able. This message this morning, the title is Life is Hard, God is Good. It can seem paradoxical, but I remember years ago a friend telling me that a paradox is truth standing on its head for attention. And there's a lot of truth in that, right? And so in understanding that, how can both those coexist at the same time? Well, it's because God is good, that's just who He is, and life is hard. And that all started when things came undone in Genesis chapter 3. One of my favorite lines, I'll probably say this again of all times, is that we're citizens of eternity stranded in time. We're caught between Genesis 3 and Revelation 20. And if you look at your Bible, you'll see Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 have a lot in common, like no death. That's a biggie. No demons, no darkness, no disease. And so we are very much in the middle of having to wrestle with the fact that indeed God is good. Life really is hard. It's about being real about the everyday struggle life is and can sometimes be. And all of us have lived long enough to know that some days seem to be that you mostly endure them, some days seem to be that you mostly enjoy them, and every single day comes and goes. The theme this morning is that all of this life's problems and dangers aren't going to accompany us to heaven. Again, if nothing else, it's just good to remind ourselves on a regular basis that not only is the old hymn says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, that's called an understatement, but we have no clue how good it's going to feel to be the way it's always supposed to have been, that as we go all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2. We're going to have brand new bodies, and it's going to be a brand new earth, it's going to be a brand new heaven, and everything's going to be right. But until then, here we are. God is good and life is hard. What to do with this message is to do precisely whatever God says. Staying focused on what matters most and lasts forever. That's the end of what we'll see this morning. That what matters most and lasts forever should be our primary preoccupation. I've heard people say they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you heard that before? They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, until we're heavenly minded, we really aren't much earthly good. Because our desire is to bring heaven to earth. That requires a mindset. One of my favorite sayings, and I just mentioned it a bit ago, one of my favorite sayings penned by one of my favorite theologians is that as God's children, we are citizens of eternity, stranded in time. And if you've ever been stranded on the side of the road, you've got a hint about the heart of what that means. This is not where I belong. This is not the way I want it to be going. I feel very stranded. And sometimes in feeling very stranded, we can also feel very alone, very out of place. Another one of my favorite sayings is from a professor at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. His name is Brian. And what he does is tries to ensure that each of his students that he's had through all the course of his instruction, that each of his students embraces and elevates what he calls the FCF, the fallen condition focus. And what it is a reminder that every preacher and every person who hears the preacher preach is living on this side of Genesis 3. It highlights the reality that it's always and I'll slow down to say this so it sinks in, hopefully. It is always, even this morning in this church, at the church down the road, at every church on the planet, it is always a fallen and dying preacher who is preaching a risen and living message to fallen way to start things off on a happy note, maybe, but it's a reality check. I'm a fallen and dying person. You're a fallen and dying person. This whole world is fallen and dying. This whole world will never be one day. Peter makes it clear. It's all going to burn up. Even the planet, clearly again in Revelation, it's a new earth and in a new heaven, and us with brand new bodies. We have no idea how good it's going to be. And as blunt as what I just said may sound, it's actually a great way to explain the title of this message, Life is Hard, God is Good. And because it is a very broken and at times excruciatingly brutal world, God is good because even before everyone and everything began, he had redemption's story embedded in the story he would tell. What happened in Genesis chapter 3 didn't take him by surprise. God never says, I didn't see that coming. God never says, oops. God never says, I didn't know that. So from the foundation of the world, embedded in the story that he would be telling, he knew what it would include. And then just the overwhelming reality that Jesus, left heaven's glory to come to this fallen world. That'd be like the opposite of the Beverly Hillbillies. Instead of moving to California, you move from California out back into the wilderness. Jesus came to this world as it is to rescue all of us. That's part of the beauty of this story. So life's hardness and God's goodness is a paradox in which we must make peace, and an issue concerning which we must choose to press on. Because one of the things we'll see clearly from what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 4 is the end of all this understanding of how good God is and how hard life can be is just keep going. Because for every believer, this ends in heaven. So no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much you feel like you just want to quit or end it or end yourself or however bad life gets in this fallen world, don't. Just keep moving forward. God, we'll see, gives us the grace to do that. It was several years ago, as I was in a meeting of clinical pastoral education students at City Hospital, that I heard one of the chaplains talk about a book he'd seen called How to Pet a Porcupine. Has anybody ever seen that book? You can get it on Kindle, Amazon. How to Pet a Porcupine. Even if just the title makes you go, how do you pet a porcupine? Some people would say, you don't. But the reality is, oh yes, you can. Face it. And make sure you pet backward. You can pet a porcupine. You can. And it's a reminder that, again, even though the title is captivating by itself, the gist of it is that it means you address situations that you sometimes find yourselves in that seem impossible and unimaginable. That's just life. That's just reality. Sometimes we're in situations that are bigger than we are. Sometimes we find ourselves needing resources we don't have, but we know who has them. And it's in that context that when we're crushed in the paradox of, yes, God is good, but man, he allows things that aren't. And life sometimes is really easy and pleasant, but life sometimes is really hard and painful. And it's the human story, it's the condition in which we find ourselves. So there's usually a way out if we acknowledge reality on its terms and seek to address it as best we can. Avoiding problems only makes them worse, and it worse. Facing them, addressing them, dealing with them is what God calls us to do. And how many remember the classic scene from, I think it was just called Balboa, it was actually Rocky 6. Probably should have stopped at 1, but no, I'm kidding. But in that movie, I found myself, I'll just insert this to give it context, I found myself on a conference call with Sylvester Stallone at the last church we were at, when what happened before Rocky, or Balboa was released, is Sylvester Stallone, the man who we know as an actor, but he's a man just like any other man, his son died. And he was grieving that bereavement. And he had an encounter with God that he said, and on the phone call, when I heard him say it when we were on the phone, that it changed his life, and it caused him to really, really, really turn to and cling to God. And so what they were doing is getting pastors together in different cities in the country prior to the movie's release to talk it up. Because there is a scene in that movie. How many of you have seen Balboa where he talks to his son about getting hit and getting back up? Does anybody remember that scene? If you haven't seen it, just go to YouTube. You can probably find a clip. Rocky talking to his son. And what the heart of the movie is that his son is tired of living in the shadow of his father, who's Rocky. And now Rocky's not used up, but he's not stepping back in the ring. The glory days are gone. And his son is just tired of being known as Rocky's son. And there's a lot of animosity and a lot of tension in their relationship. And then the moment comes, the climax, you could say it's the climax of the whole movie, when his son stops out and says, "I'm tired of you, I don't want to be your son." And Rocky follows him out, and here's what he says. This is a verbatim from the script. "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very..." And again, as you hear this, understand, and I remember when I watched the movie, Rocky is not talking to the kid playing his son. He's talking to his son, who's passed. It's a very intense moment. "This world is a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you've got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or this or that or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens, you're my son and you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life." And I would tweet that to say, in a more theologically accurate way, "But until you start believing with all your heart in who God is and what God can do, no matter what life does to you, you ain't never going to really live." Isn't that powerful? He almost sounds angry. And I'm sure he's angry at the fact that his son has passed. But you can only imagine the impact that had on his son. So again, if you've never seen it, just Google that and watch that, because it is very intense. Because though he sounds angry, what he's doing is he's loving his son deeply, confronting him in a very provoked way to get his attention and help him understand, you're only living in the shadow of me if you stand in that shadow. Right? And so again, just remember that life can be hard, but God is always good and God is always more than able. So let me just read the entirety of this passage. Julie read the snippet of the heart of it that says we are knocked down but not destroyed, suffering though we suffer, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. It's worth reading the whole thing for the context. "Now we have this light, the light of Christ living in us, shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars." Most translations render that jars of clay, earthly vessels, "containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. A car can't drive itself unless you put gas in it. It can't move without the power it needs. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down," something most of us will never know, like Paul did for his faith. "We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you." That's a great play on words. Yeah, we're living with the reality that our death could happen at any time because of our love for God. But that death that we're living in, it's always breathing down on our neck, it's because of that and how that inspires us that you have heard the words of eternal life, which is what everybody needs to hear. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. The whole purpose of our witness and the whole purpose of our walk and our evangelistic efforts is so that more and more people will know him and more glory will go to him. And then this passage ends with this these great words. That is why we never give up. Because people wind up receiving eternal life through this message. That's why we never give up. This is worth living and dying for. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Some translations render that. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day, including Sunday, March 2nd, 2025. He continues, that wasn't in the Bible, I just said that. That's not in the scripture. But you knew that. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. That's called perspective. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And again, other translations render that that which is seen is temporary, and that which is unseen is eternal. So the things that matter most, the things that we live and die for, aren't things we can see with our eyes. We were talking last week about the eyes of our heart seeing physical things in a different way. When we look at people and we see they're helpless like sheep without a shepherd rather than just a bother because they're slowing down our life for a moment today or whatever, things like that. But this, what this passage is telling us is everything that is seen is temporary. And including these bodies, those pews, this building, and this planet, it's all temporary. One day we'll all be destroyed in preparation for the new heaven and the new earth. So it does us well to remember, as we're citizens of eternity and stranded in time, that everything and everyone we can see in its current form will one day be no more. Everything, everyone in their current state will be no more. So, to the passage, what we can learn from this. Again, focusing on the point that the seventh verse that begins this passage says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from us. So the first point this morning is this. When it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, and that's what God says they are, temporary earthen vessels, the first point is this. Keep remembering that's what they are. One of my dear friends, Dave Scaluzzo, you love him. He was working out at the NAB tournament in Cuyahoga Falls, and there was a guy who was 83 who was trying to keep his body buff. It just becomes a losing proposition, at least, you know, when you get to 83. And he said this guy would always, before he'd shower, he'd get ready to go into the shower, take a towel. So he'd stand there butt naked in front of the mirror, like, posing. And Dave's like, ugh, because you're not buff at 83. And he'd seen him do this many times, and Dave said one day he just said, I had enough, I don't know if that's what it was, but he went up to me and said, does it upset you at all that, you know, 5 days after you die, I'm going to look way better than you? And you got to know Dave to understand it was okay for him to ask that question. But he's just trying to make the point. Dude, you are trying to shore up what is disintegrating. Your body's temporary. Give it up, man. Quit wasting your time. And that quit wasting your time is so often what we need to be told when we're giving ourselves to everything that's not going to last forever. And we need to understand that this body is one of those things. Yes, take care of your body. Exercise. Drink enough water. Sleep enough. Eat nutritious food, but not too much. Those kind of things. But don't try to treat your body as though it's going to last forever, because it's not. And that's the first point. When it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, we need to keep remembering that's exactly what they are. And the image that is painted in this picture, jars of clay, this incredible great treasure stored in a jar of clay, would be maybe a way to say it today to catch the heart of the word picture, is to understand that would be like putting your most precious diamond ring in a used McDonald's wrapper. That's the picture here. This incredible treasure is in these fallen, frail, prone to disease bodies. And it's the glory of God and the light of life and the presence of God's Spirit in us and through us that gets it done as it pertains to this message. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And I won't take the time because of the time, but I would encourage you, for the sake of context, to read the very beginning of this chapter, where Paul starts out by saying, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way of life, he starts out the chapter by saying, we never give up. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. We never give up. And he ends by saying, don't give up. Because anybody can give up. Quitting is very easy to do. And what do these jars of clay accomplish? They point to God's power. How many of you have heard the old story about I think it was Wayne Watson who wrote a song called something about the violin. You know, it was the end of the auction. It was a rickety old violin, just looked like it'd be great to make a lamp out of or something. And he started bidding at $1, $2, $3, nothing happened. And then this old concert violinist took a hold of the violin, tuned it up, and played. Same violin, but now it's played by the master. The bidding now started at $1,000. Have you heard that song? It's a great reminder that even a rickety old violin in the right person's hand can sound beautiful. Before we get out of here, I'll do this just really quickly to make this point too. Tawny and I are going to play When the Saints Go Marching In, and reserve your judgment until the last note, please. But listen to what this trumpet sounds if nobody's playing, what it sounds like, just sitting there. Not too impressive, is it? Can you hear it? No, because nobody's playing it. But just like somebody, and I'm not the greatest, but just like somebody who picks up a trumpet and can play it and knows when to push down which valves and knows to blow into this end and not this end, you can play something like this. Picks it up and knows how to blow into the mouthpiece and moves the valves, this is what it sounds like. And that really is kind of like what happens when God moves into our life. Let him call the tune. Let him play what he wants to play. Let him say what he wants to say. And so, again, just like your most precious ring in a McDonald's wrapper seems inappropriate. Just like this old rickety violin that nobody thought was worth anything suddenly increases exponentially in value because you hear it played correctly. Just like a wind instrument with no wind in it doesn't make a sound. That's what we need to remember. Our bodies are just jars of clay. And don't get too hung up on that, on what's not eternal. Second point this morning is this, that comes from the heart of the passage in verses 7 through 15 that we read. The second point is, when it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, you can sum up the entirety of verses 7 through 15 by saying this: no matter the struggle, and I would even add right now, no matter the threat, no matter the hardship, no matter the heartache, no matter the pain, Jesus never fails. That's what Paul's saying in so many words. Jesus, you may think he's let you down. You may think he's failed. Again, that's because we're stranded in time. We don't know what's just around the corner. I've often thought, I mentioned Johnny Erickson in one of the past messages, if she hadn't broken her neck, we wouldn't know who she is. None of us would know who Johnny Erickson was if she hadn't broken her neck. But God redeemed that. And now millions of people all over the planet have wheelchairs and disability aids and surgeries and just no matter what. In the moment, it may seem like Jesus has failed, but give it time. He's still Lord. He's still able. He's not forsaken you. He said he won't do that. He hasn't left you. He said he won't do that. And another way to say that no matter the struggle, Jesus never fails, another way to say that is, one of these days, it's all going to be more than all right when we get to heaven. Until then, it's just a mess sometimes. And as we survey these verses, again, we are hard-pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through our suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. There is something powerful about a frail old saint with not even much gray hair left because they're balding now and they're rickety and their body's wasting away. And then they speak and you hear the power of God and the words of God and you sense the heart of God coming out of this old, weak person. That's because, yeah, that's right, the outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. Again, back to that first point, don't try to shore up a body that's not going to last forever. But as it's not lasting forever, embrace the power of God. Affirm what Paul's saying. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. There's nothing God can't do in any situation. And you will probably do it in a way that you didn't think you would, and perhaps in timing that you weren't expecting. I don't like the phrase unanswered prayer. I prefer to say, I just haven't heard the answer yet. There is no unanswered prayer. In a very real way, because God is the one who answers prayer. And again, this passage pulls no punches about how hard life can be. I believe that's why I speak. Don't be quiet. Remember that psalmist, I think it was David who said, it was Jesus, as he said when he wrote in Jerusalem, if you keep quiet, these rocks will sing out in praise. Give the rocks a day off. You take over for the praise. You do the singing. You do the shouting. That's what we can do. And again, what Paul is doing is giving credit where credit is due. At the end of every movie, most people don't stay for it, and even if you're streaming online, you can pass through it, not that I always do that, but at the end of every movie, there are these things called the what? The begins with a hard C sound. Credits. The actors, and now everybody on the screen gets all the glory, but who should be getting the glory? The guy going, cut! That's a wrap. The guy behind the camera, the guy who wrote the script, all the people they list, and they fly right through them. But if those people didn't exist and do their job, that movie wouldn't be on the screen. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, all this stuff that's happening, you want to know where the credit goes? You want to give credit where credit is due? God. Anything good that gets done, ultimately, God's behind it. Anything good. Because that's what he is. So, that's the second point. When it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, no matter the struggle, Jesus never fails. Last but not least, third point. Don't give up. Again, I said earlier, if there's one thing you remember, don't forget. If nothing else that you remember from this message, if you're a believer here this morning, and if you're not a believer here this morning, may today be the day you become a believer and receive the gift of eternal life. But to all of us who, by God's grace, are believers here today, if nothing else, please remember, don't give up. It's easy in the moment. It's, dare I say, even hellishly hard in the long haul. If you give up now, things aren't going to get better. Especially if what you're giving up on is because things are really hard and it's a situation that's doing you in. Don't give up. Take another step. Take another breath. Don't give up, knowing there's daily renewal from the inside out. Yes, your outer man is perishing. Your body's getting weaker. But on the inside, as God has his way, your spirit, your soul is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger while your body is getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And when you take your last breath, everything that God has done up to that moment will be realized. And you'll, we have no idea how awesome that moment's going to be. But if you give up, it'll be less awesome than it would have been. Right? So don't give up. Knowing there's a daily renewal from the inside out as we focus on what isn't seen, but what is unseen, because that's eternal. There's all kinds of deception in what you can see, camouflage and masks and costumes, but the soul, the inner person that's being renewed day by day, that's where God does his best stuff, and often it's in bodies that are in the worst of shape. God calls us to go from victory to victory, even when we stumble and fall. And there in verse 16, many English translations begin verse 16 with the word therefore. Here in the NLT that I'm reading today, it says, that is why we never give up. That's the explanation. Why don't you just throw in the towel? Why don't you just call it? Why don't you just cut your losses and move on? Because if you cut your losses and move on from your relationship with God, you've lost. You're going to keep losing. That's all that will happen. We do not lose heart. Because once someone loses heart, life becomes impossible. Quitting is easy in the moment, but it becomes horrible in the long haul. And Paul is speaking experientially. He's not speaking theoretically here. His life has been threatened often. In another part, I think it's 1 Corinthians, he'll tell you, five, not four, not six, five times he was whipped in his back. He wasn't scourged like Jesus was at the crucifixion, but he had his back ripped open five times to get him to shut up about God. Did he shut up? Because what can he do? Kill him. I win. I stay and continue to serve. I win. I can't wait to meet Paul. He's going to have a long reading line in heaven, I'm sure of that. But he is speaking experientially. He endured heartache and suffering to a degree few will ever know. He knew what not losing heart feels like. Because in his humanity, there's no doubt he wanted to throw in the towel every now and then. I'm tired of this. This is harder than I thought it would be. When I signed up for this, I didn't know what I signed up for. Well, welcome to reality. And now what do? You don't lose heart. I am confident that that the three times he asked God to heal him, I begged him to take this thorn in my flesh from me. I begged him. And he didn't. And Paul came to learn he really didn't know what he was doing. Because Paul was able to say experientially, his grace is enough for anything he allows. And that's something all of us struggle with at times, no doubt. So he knew what it was like to not lose heart and what that accomplishes. And again, let's close by hearing those words again of his encouragement and exhortation, both of which we who live in these jars of clay need to hear daily. That is why we never give up. Hear God speaking to you through the words of Paul that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who is in this room to disclose the truth to our minds and hearts. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. In some churches, there'd be a bunch of amens right there. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. And certainly that's a play on words that's meant to grab your attention. What do you mean you look at what can't be seen? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So we don't look at the troubles we can see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And so with you, I've got four more weeks here, and I'll probably say this three or four more times. Fellow struggler to fellow struggler, I am confident that God is who he says he is, and that he can do what he says he can do, and that he has lied exactly never. And that when he makes a promise, not only can he keep it, he will. You can take him at his word. My dear mom, when we get to heaven and you meet her, I can't wait to introduce her. She, yesterday was 29 years to the day that I held her hand when she died. It's always an important day. One of the things that grabbed my mom's heart as a baby Christian was this phrase. God keeps his promises. And he has made promises to every person on the planet through his word. And to every person who believes, who receives and believes and embraces that, acknowledging this is a truth teller. He's God. He's truth itself. He himself is truth. I can believe him. I can take it to the bank. Jesus never fails. God keeps his promises. So when it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, keep remembering that's what they are. Do you see the importance of this perspective? The second point, when it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, no matter the struggle, Jesus never fails. And here's something for you to ponder. What's your experiential knowledge concerning this? The fact that life is hard, but God is good. No matter the struggle, Jesus never fails. Can you write down a few times in your life where you've seen him prove that to you? Where you thought it was over, and it wasn't a period, it was a comma, and there was to be continued. That's everybody's life until we take our final breath. To be continued. Let God lead. And then last, the third point, when it comes to our earthly bodies being jars of clay, don't give up. Knowing there's a daily renewal from the inside out as we focus on what's unseen and eternal. And here's what to do today with what you hear, with what you heard. Prayerfully ponder each of these points and answer the questions, especially about their importance. And then ask God to help you move forward in a specific and doable way, knowing that the light that he gives you is meant for you not to just stand there and say, that's a really nice light. The light that he gives you is given so you can see where to put your next step. And just look a little bit down the road. Your word is a light and a lamp, right? Psalm 119:105. Look where your feet are. Look where your next step is. Look what's just down the road. You don't know what's beyond what the light's shining on, do you? He does. And when you get closer, you'll see it. But for right now, move on. Don't give up. Don't quit. You'll regret it for now and forever in some ways. I'm not saying if you're on your way to heaven, you're not going to get to heaven. But if we quit now, we're going to miss out on so much that God has. And can you join me in acknowledging he's the best? He's the best. Graham Kendrick wrote a song from Philippians, "You're my joy, you're my all, you're my righteousness, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, God. I love you." And he started loving us first. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this good day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the songs and hymns we've sung, for the words we've heard, through the word from 2 Corinthians 4. Help us not to lose heart. Help us to never give up. Help us to take you at your word for what it is and to truly know what it means, that you continue by your Spirit to give us understanding. And help us not just hear your word, but do your word, so we won't be deceived. Thank you with my brothers and sisters and friends here today that we all can trust you everywhere, no matter what. Help us to do that, and we ask you to do that for your glory in Jesus' name.